What you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And here she is at UNN, no, at UNEEQ underscore. I threw in an extra N there.
You did.
At UNEEQ underscore at unique. And here's Laura with what you need to know.
All right, guys. So I've talked about cool art exhibits like the one about Tupac, actually right across the street from us. And there is another one that you guys should check out here in L.A. So it is the Frida Kahlo, the immersive Frida Kahlo. And I was reading about it, and it says that one of the producers says that it's not like anything you can ever experience. It's like you're literally in the middle of a video game. There's 65 projectors. It is 18,000 square foot. And there's like, imagine you're just in the middle of a video game that it's all Frida Kahlo and her art. And I was like, that's interesting. I want to check that out. So the exhibit celebrates her life story and highlights the highs and lows that she went through, which a lot of us, many of us, and some don't know her story. So check it out. And they were saying that they wanted to put together something that is not so traditional. So it's going to captivate you as you walk in. So I'm like, okay. So this is actually in Hollywood. So it's called the Frida Kahlo Immersive Exhibition at the Lighthouse Art Space, I'm sorry, which is located on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. So if you guys want to go check it out with your family, you know, it's a beautiful weekend, scheduled to be a beautiful weekend. You guys can go check that out in Hollywood.
All right. Well, I have no appreciation for art. I'm like just an uncultured idiot. I get it. I mean, I really am. Do you have an appreciation for art, DeMarco?
I do. Can you do me a favor, Laura? Say the name again, just a little bit slower.
Frida Kahlo?
Frida.
Frida.
How do you spell the last name?
Kahlo, K-A-H-L-O.
Thank you. Yes, I do, and I would love to go see this. I'm interested.
Is that the Selma Hayek movie character?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What movie character?
Well, yeah, she did a movie called Frida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, Selma Hayek, yeah.
Done. Okay, yes. Makes sense. Definitely want to go see. I have big time. It's a great way to open conversations for the little one. So I have a great appreciation for art.
I went to an art show a couple weeks ago called Beyond Van Gogh.
Yeah.
And it's not like I was saying to my girlfriend, hey, I got tickets to Beyond Van Gogh. This is going to be awesome. In fact, when we got there, I was like, how about let's Beyond Van get out of here, you know?
Wow.
But as it turned out, I had a great time. I mean, I really, really, really loved it. And I learned a whole lot about Van Gogh and his life and, you know, what inspired him and what happened to him in his life. But I swear to you, I walked into this thing knowing absolutely zero.
I could just see you in the car on the way.
I was like the whole time, I was like, so where are we going for dinner after this? Where are we going to have dinner? Like, when we're done.
But you had a good time.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I will admit, it was great.
You know? I consider sports photography art.
Oh,
so
my God, yes.
Going to the Hall of Fame was awesome. Seeing all those shots. From like seeing the league from start to now.
Yeah.
I think all those are great.
Well, it looks like I think of NFL films, especially the early days of NFL films. Like I think of that as an incredible piece of art around sport. You know?
You know that is it George Blanda?
Okay.
No. Y.A. Tittle.
Okay, Y.A. Tittle.
You know that iconic shot of him on his knees with his forehead bleeding with no helmet?
Right.
That's how I see Jared Goff. At some point, it's going to end that way for him. Like, what am I doing out here?
So I had a buddy of mine who was very into art, and he bought this beautiful piece of art, or at least he thought it was beautiful. And it was this gigantic piece, man.
That means you did it.
Well, wait, I'm going to tell you. It was a gigantic piece of art. And everything in this piece was a butterfly. And the whole thing was made of real butterflies.
Wow.
Whoa.
So I'm standing there in front of this.
Everything in it is a butterfly.
Right.
And
the whole piece of art is all made of real butterflies. They're dead, but they were at one time alive.
Wow.
You know, butterflies can be a very beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, very. Yeah.
So I'm standing there in front of this thing. It's about 10 feet high and about 8 feet wide, and there's thousands of butterflies inside this thing. And this friend of mine who bought this piece of art said, so what do you think? And I said, doesn't do much for me. And he goes, take a guess how much this cost.
Oh, my God, a lot.
Take a guess.
Oh, DeMarco.
$100K.
Okay, $100,000. Laura?
$150K.
Okay, Funchy?
160K.
Okay. He says to me, I'm standing there looking at all these butterflies, right? And I'm like, whatever. He says, I paid $1 million.
What? Wow. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
I paid $1 million for this piece of art. I had it imported from wherever. They had to send it over this way. It took so long to get here. I'm displaying it in my hotel so that everybody can enjoy it. And I'm standing there like a complete idiot, like, doesn't do much for me, right? The guy had it displayed in his hotel for about 6-7 years, decided to take it out of the hotel. The piece of art today, he says, is worth $3
million. Wow.
Wow.
And here I am.
Good luck.
It's all right.
Good luck.
Nothing special.
But that's the thing with art, right? It's really like there's art pieces. Like I'm a nerd. I love museums. When I travel, I have to go to different museums just because there's different art pieces in different cities. And I'm like, what? That doesn't really do much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it does for the next person, right? Or like there's a piece that just for whatever reason resonates with me. And then the person next to me is like,
anything resonate to the point where you'd spend $1 million on it?
I think if I had it like that, probably.
It better make
me
cry when I see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, I love photography. And, you know, I actually have a friend that used to work for the Rams.
Yeah.
And I love his photography. Like, from on the field, but also just out of the field. Like, his photography is great. But I ain't spending $1 million on his photography. You know what I'm saying? And that's a buddy. Like, not happening.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, my appreciation for art is like, hey, I'm in Home Goods, and I need something to put on my wall, and I'm like, that's $15 right there, you know?
Come on.
But when people come over, I'll be like, yo, you see this right here? I got this from this museum, and this artist is
this. So you're lying?
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Because he says he doesn't lie.
I don't lie.
Nick, you just admitted to lying.
Well, you lied about that. No.
I mean, I'm just in certain instances, you know, where I want to look really cultured and I want to look, you know, really rich.
If you believe it to be true, it cannot be a lie.
Oh, God, this thing again. Yeah,
thank you, DeMarco.
No.
Appreciate that.
No. But I love, like, right now, as you guys know, I moved, whatever, right? So I'm looking to what am I going to put on the walls? And I've gone to Home Goods, I've gone to different places, and nothing really, like, calls out to me. But again, I love photography, and there's certain pictures that I've taken that people are like, dude, where did you save that from? Like, what site did you save? I was like, no, I took it. So my friend's like, dude, display your photography. Like, instead of displaying someone else's and buying it, like, just display yours.
I feel the same way. My daughter's been going down to the beach every day, and she's been taking pictures of the sunset. And I'm like, great, I'm going to blow that up, and I'm going to call it art.
It is art.
Yeah. I know. I'm with you. Well, that's what you need to know. It's being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. DeMarco's in today for Sedano. Prayers up for Sedano and the Sedano and Cap community on Twitter. We appreciate all that. And I know George is at home right now, and he's on Twitter, and he's probably listening on the app, and he's hanging out, and he's getting all this love that we're sending to him. So let's get him back. Let's get him healthy, and let's get him back on the air. But DeMarco, while we've got you here, man, let me ask you. The Rams OTAs started this week. Talked a little bit about this earlier, how, you know, back in the day when Matt Stafford was in Detroit, as bad as they may be, he's all in. I think his story of his contract this offseason has been very under the radar because there were so many other big star quarterbacks on the move or getting new deals. Just give me, where you think we are right now in this Rams offseason is we're a week ahead of the draft.
You know, not surprised by the attendance, guys coming back. I mean, when you have a championship squad, you love being together. So they're back. They're working out. They're getting ready for 2022, for the 2022 season. I told you this before, man. Defending a Super Bowl championship is the toughest thing in sports. The offseason of defending your championship, like late April, early May and June, toughest workouts of your life. It is. Remember Marvin Hagler used to say, it's hard to get up and run at 3 a.m. when you're sleeping in silk pajamas. It's different when you're world champion. You're going to have to find a new motivation. Everybody from Aaron Donald on down, but it's there. So having these guys come back ready to go to work, ready to turn the page to this season does not shock me because of the culture, but this is the toughest thing in sports right now, what they're embarking on.
Can't wait for next Friday when you and I are at the Rams Draft House, and I'm definitely now thinking that what we should do is we need to get there early. We need to hang out. We said we're going to wear board shorts, and we're going to be laying by the pool for a while. I just think we need to take advantage of what is a $9,500 a night house.
Right there with you. Absolutely. I think we should see the whole house. Do we have those remote mics? Can we walk around? Can we broadcast from the pool? Like actually put our bodies in the pool if our heads are above water?
I think you could with your wireless mics and headphones. Yeah, I think you could.
No electrocution or anything.
No,
right?
No. Okay, I think you guys are fun.
Cap, I think we're gonna have fun with this.
I also think that if we bring the right amount of sunscreen, the two of us could just be out there shirtless, basking in the sun, talking to Sean McVay and Les Snead and whoever else is coming out.
Well,
you know?
I'm not in shirtless shape yet.
Neither am I.
I may rock the t-shirt, but the board shorts definitely.
Yeah, I'm not in shirtless shape either, and I'm probably not going to get there for the summer. And I blame you, by the way, DeMarco.
Why me?
Because you and I made a commitment to each other that we were going to run a half marathon in April, and April has come and practically gone, and neither of us are ready for a half marathon.
Well, see, I could blame you. I was depending on you, too. We let each other down.
We did.
Yeah,
I know. Well, that's
okay.
Fair. Yeah, it's cool.
At least we tried.
Tell me this. Do you think that Cooper Kupp, because there's been so many wide receivers that have gotten big money deals. I think of Davante Adams going to the Raiders, Tyreek Hill going down to Miami, Deebo Samuel, who's talking about what he wants from San Francisco. Do you think that Cooper Kupp is going to be getting a new deal anytime soon based on being the receiver that he was this past season?
You have to give him something. I mean, for what he gave to you, what he helped bring you. And think of that Super Bowl, man, when you lose Odell Beckham Jr. And it's pretty much him and Matthew Stafford out there, and you still made it happen. You're going to have to reward that guy with something. You really do. I don't know where you come in or what's acceptable, what's insulting to him, but definitely he gets a bump in pay for what he delivered to you. That's the same way as I feel for Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. He deserves something for what he gave you last season, but what that number is it that new fair market value? I'm not sure if I want to go that high, but you definitely have to award or reward Cooper Kupp for the season he had last year.
No doubt. Hey, DeMarco, coming back. I need to get you to jump into a debate that we have been having on the show this week. Funchy and Laura, they may or may not still be in or out on this thing. Chris Morales was the first one out. I'll explain the entire story to you coming right back, and I need you to jump in on this next on Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What is this?
Dude, I haven't heard Garth Brooks in ages.
What is this,
ages.
Man?
I have not heard this song in ages.
Is this, man?
Wait, hold on. I'm going to tell you what it is. I got friends in low places. How I even know this? It's been like 25 years. I don't know.
I knew I'd be seeing Cap like a stagecoach or something.
No, never. I am not into country music at all. Not one bit.
So what happened was... I was in the studio talking to DeMarco, and I'm like, oh, we got less than 10 seconds to go back. So I rush over, tell you, you know, you're going to be up and on, start scrambling through our pages to get music, and I found the first thing with music, and I was like, there you go. So he just hit something.
Oh, my God. No, hey, Funchy, I'll tell you, man, a couple weeks ago, when Steve Mason was hosting his fantasy baseball draft, I was on a boat off the shore of San Diego watching a concert with Blake Shelton, and I didn't know one of his songs.
I
don't know one song, not one.
How long was Mason's draft? Like 8 hours?
Oh, dude, it was horrendous.
I bet, man.
You know what? It was even worse. DeMarco, you want to hear this? So Steve Mason invited me to be in his fantasy baseball league, and I've never played fantasy baseball in my life. And I just, because I'm one of these people who can never say no. So I said, okay. And then it was Saturday afternoon, and I thought it would be like an ESPN.com kind of a draft where I didn't have to really do it. I could just set it on auto draft. Dude, it turns out that the Steve Mason fantasy baseball draft is more technical than the actual Major League Baseball draft.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, put it this way. When the NFL draft goes and they have 10 minutes in between picks in the first round,
yeah,
Mason and his entire crew of people, They argue and bid on players. It takes like 30 minutes in between each pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds very involved.
Yeah, it's way too involved for me. And every day there are emails that start at about 6 in the morning, and everybody's in on the emails, trades, who's starting who. And they, you know what they told me?
What?
Dude, it's $600 to be in the league. I'm like, what?
I was going
to
say, what's at stake here?
Yeah,
what?
Nobody,
$600?
$600.
Jeez.
And nobody told me how long it was going to take for the draft, how much it was going to cost, what you could possibly win, and how intricate this thing was going to be and how time-consuming. And so...
That sounds like me and my first poker hand.
Sounds like you got swindled, man.
Yeah, man. It's not good.
Wow. Wow.
I don't want anything to do with it.
How much is the average baseball fantasy league? If you're saying wow to 600, what's normal?
I don't know.
I mean, for fantasy football or any fantasy league, like the normal price I would pay is anywhere from like $40 to, you know.
So $600.
$100 maybe.
This
yeah.
is like the Bentleys of.
Yeah, I can't imagine what's going on there, man.
Yeah, but I was told that you could only win, like the winner gets 4,000. I'm like, wait a second, you put up 600 to win 4,000? And here's the other thing. I still don't even know how to win. Like no one has explained the game to me.
Like I said, this feels like my first hand of poker.
I am a sucker.
If you can't spot the sucker in 1 hour, it's you.
Yep, that's me. I am the sucker. It is true. DeMarco, I would love for you to do us all a favor and jump into a debate that we've been having since earlier in the week.
Okay, full disclosure.
Yep.
I got to tell you, not to make Laura an enemy, but she...
Of course you would.
She kind of filled me in on this.
It's okay.
But I have to tell you, she filled me in on it. But go ahead.
No, it's fine. So here's what happened.
You're gonna
hate me more. No. Here's what happened.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, come at me, sis.
Come at me, bro.
This is like a big family.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the listeners.
Okay, everybody, come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro.
So a couple days ago, we're discussing this story. There was a report that the Dodgers are considering selling naming rights to the field. Okay, so not that they were selling naming rights to Dodger Stadium per se.
Just the field.
The field.
Okay.
And the original report that was out there was that Burger King was going to buy the naming rights to the field. So you can imagine a national broadcast. Welcome everybody here to Burger King Field at Dodger Stadium.
Wow, nice. Ka-ching. Does that happen a lot?
I think so. I think that a lot of places are trying to do that. You sell the naming rights to the stadium, and you're like, okay, where else can we squeeze money?
Sell the field, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So it started this entire conversation about the original Burger King chicken sandwich. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It's kind of a long chicken sandwich.
The funny-shaped one. Yeah.
And it only has on it a little bit of mayo and some crunchy, refreshing, cold kind of lettuce. You know?
I remember. I can visualize the menu. Yes.
Okay. When was the last time you've had one of those?
I have never had one. That's
really?
What I told Laura. Yeah, I have never ordered one. Never had one.
Okay. When was the last time you were at a Burger King?
At least a month ago, maybe.
Oh, that's very recent.
Yeah.
What'd you have?
I get the Whopper.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of Burger Kings around. I mean, do you see them often?
There's one right next to. The Agora office, the Rams Agora office. That's why if I'm out there for a podcast on the way home, it's on that side of the freeway, I stop.
Nice. Well, as it turns out, here's what happened. We started talking about this chicken sandwich and about the original chicken sandwich, and Sedano right away says, it's horrible, it's terrible.
Is
Don't
it?
Anybody, yeah. Well, so I'm
it's
on the
dry.
Other.
It's peasant food to him.
Oh, my God.
No, right. That's not
Who's,
what he said.
Wait, who said peasant food?
Funchy? That's not what he said.
That's not what Sedano said?
No. He just said it's really dry, that if there was a nut, like, he takes care of himself. He intermittent fast, right? He's like, if I'm going to
healthy guy. Yeah.
He's a healthy guy. He's like, if I'm going to do something unhealthy or eat something unhealthy, I'm going to eat the best, so I'll do Popeyes. So
he's not saying that this sandwich is unhealthy.
Well,
he's just saying he would rather have a better one.
Right. He's saying it's bad. He's saying it's not a good sandwich.
It's dry, man. You need a bunch of mayo and like hot sauce and like ketchup to like make it be okay.
And I, on the other hand, feel like the original Burger King chicken sandwich is fire. And so as we had this conversation, by the way, do you like the use of fire, Laura?
Not really, but I'll give it to you.
That was perfect. Yeah.
So anyway, so I was talking about this chicken sandwich so much that Chris Morales could not take it anymore. And even though he's on a diet, he just broke. Under 24 hours, he broke, and he went to Burger King and he got the chicken sandwich.
Wait, wait, he's on a diet? And you guys were at loggerheads that he actually broke the diet just to prove you wrong or right or whatever? Wow.
Laura was mad at me, too.
Well, the thing is, he's on keto, and he's been very good about being on keto. And on keto, you don't have bread, and or if you do, it has to be keto bread, right? All this stuff. And I'm like, Cap, you should feel bad for, like, making Morales go out of his way.
He didn't do anything, Cap. He didn't do anything, Cap. Morales does anything for a bit. You know that.
But yeah, it's right. For the bit.
It's all for the bit.
But again, guys, it's radio. So me punking, you know, Cap is for the bit.
I got you. He's a grown man, though.
So as it turns out, Morales has one. And I compare this whole chicken sandwich situation to, do you remember the episode of Seinfeld where they were a master of their domain?
Yes.
Okay. And Kramer walks in after like 30 seconds after placing the bet, and he slams down his money. He goes, I'm out.
Right.
That was Morales. He was out first. So Funchy said he was going to go to Burger King and get one of the original chicken sandwiches. And it turned into a thing of who's going to have a fried chicken sandwich next. And I was saying to everybody that whoever has one next has to immediately go into the group chat or even into the Sedano and Cap Twitter community and make their proclamation that they're out. So, Funchy, Laura, anybody out?
I have not ate one yet, but I strongly thought about it last night, especially since my fiance got home from work really late. I was going to tell her to go to some place and get me a chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did not break. I did not break, Scott.
Mm. Laura?
Wait. So the deal is, to be out, you have to have a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, that was the deal.
A fried chicken sandwich.
I have not broken at all. Because
so that means you haven't had a chicken sandwich since this argument?
Yes, in the past couple days. Yes.
Oh, wow. Or, yeah, that's a big deal, man. Wait a minute. I couldn't make that promise, but go ahead.
Well, the thing is, it was not – the whole point was we were not supposed to have the BK sandwich, and somehow Cap took it to all sandwiches. So now we're all like – Funch said he knows somebody that has really good sandwiches, and we did see the picture. So we all might break when we're in studio next week and break together with that chicken sandwich.
Heck, with all this chicken sandwich talk, I might break in today or tomorrow, man. Seriously.
Wow.
Lori, you have no idea how close I was last night. Let me tell you what happened. I went to this buddy of mine's comedy show because, you know, DeMarco yesterday was 420. I don't know if you were celebrating or not yesterday.
I can't breathe. My nose works. Yeah, it's 420.
So my buddies were putting on a comedy show last night. I went to their show, and when it was over, we went to this bar, and there was this this chicken sandwich thing, like little chicken sliders on Hawaiian rolls. And I looked at the and I said, are these fried chicken sandwiches or are they grilled chicken sandwiches?
Okay, so if it would have been grilled, it would have been okay?
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Okay. Dang, so I could have had the grilled chicken sandwich at my mom's house. Dang.
Absolutely. The whole thing was about fried chicken sandwiches.
Now I feel dumb.
So I crushed a couple of these last night.
What is the pecking order of chicken sandwiches?
Well, see, I didn't know that we could have had grilled one. I could have had a grilled one.
Yeah. The pecking order is, well, Laura and I have an ongoing debate about this. She thinks Popeye's is by far away the best.
Popeye's is the best.
The chain ones.
I've never had the BK, but strong.
BK is pretty good. Pretty
good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good.
How close to Popeye's? Because Popeye's to me is like, you know.
If I had to give it, you know, a rating out of 10, the BK, I give it like maybe a 6.5. Maybe 7.
And Popeye's would be what, a 10?
10, yes.
Okay.
But see, like, there's better. So you have Popeye's. You have, I know Carl's Jr. has one. I know McDonald's has
KFC
one.
KFC has one, too.
KFC
it's pretty good. Pretty
has
good.
One.
What about the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich?
There's a Wendy's one. You know, there's a lot. So I feel
wait,
like
you guys are missing. You guys are missing a big one here.
Which
one? Because I argue with Laura about this. I think Chick-fil-A is the better chicken sandwich than the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
No, I don't think so.
I like Chick-fil-A. I do.
Yeah, it's good, but I don't think it's better than Popeye's.
Sometimes I think it's too small. Like
the
I gotta Chick-fil-A? Have two. Yeah, I gotta
Thank
have two
you,
or something.
Funchy.
Two. I'm not. Yeah,
three bites and I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Right.
Yeah, like my thing is kind of like the KFC one. They have like the little slider one too or whatever. The what do they call? There's like a smaller one to their bigger
a slider.
It's not a slider. They don't call it a slider, but whatever. But like if we're talking chains.
Yeah.
I think Popeyes wins. If we're talking non-chains, like Birdies down on Olympics is great. We have Howlin' Rays, which I think is also great. I haven't tried Funchy's Friend's Place, but it looks really good.
Well, the place is called Hot Box, so it must be
Hot
gross.
Hot Box, I know.
So it's called Hot Box, and it serves chicken sandwiches.
Yes.
Oh, I know what's going down in there.
Exactly. Precisely. They were celebrating 420.
No doubt.
Definitely. So I just feel like, Cap, I get it. It's the original, whatever, whatever, whatever. Doesn't mean it's the best.
You should start saying blasé, blasé, rather than whatever, whatever.
Okay, blasé with blasé. It's not the best.
I'm taking that.
Now, that's a you thing. I say whatever, whatever.
I know. Well, I mean, there's yada, yada, yada. There's whatever, whatever. There's et cetera, et cetera. There's blah, blah, blah. But DeSean Jackson taught me blasé, blasé, and I'm going to attempt to adopt it.
You should do it, yeah.
Although Sedano beat me to it yesterday, and he used it twice, and I didn't use it at all. So today I'm trying. I'm trying to use it.
So whatever, whatever. You know, right, you go for you. A cap.
All right. DeMarco, are you ready to play a game
I'm ready to
of
eat,
big deal or no deal?
I'm ready to eat a chicken sandwich.
Well,
if you see a Burger King on the way home tonight, will you stop and get one?
No, there's a Popeyes on the way home.
Good man. Good man.
I'm already mapping out the route.
All right. Big deal or no deal is coming up next. DeMarco is in for Sedano. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, well, there's no Sedano today, and we are sending a lot of love towards George and his family because George put it out on Twitter earlier today that he's in health and safety protocols, which means he's not on the road doing NBA basketball games. He's at home getting himself all better, and I'm sure by Monday he will be back ready to roll. But right now, the Super Bowl champion, DeMarco Farr, is in the house, and it's time for Big Deal or No Deal, so here is Funchy.
All right, guys, since I got two football guys in the house, I'm going to give you guys a football question.
Bring it.
So Detroit Lions, they have the 2nd and 32nd pick in the draft next week. But that doesn't faze franchise quarterback Jared Goff. He says that he's not concerned and has no control over personnel decisions that the Lions might do because there's rumors that they might take another quarterback in the draft next week. Jared Goff not worrying about his job. Is this a big deal or no deal? Cap.
I'm going to say it's no deal. I feel like the Detroit Lions would be wasting a draft choice if they decided to go with a quarterback.
Wouldn't be the first time, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, Jared Goff is I'm going to call him a competent, middle-of-the-road starting quarterback in the NFL. But he looked better when he was on a good team, and he looks kind of very average and mediocre when he's on a bad team. So I just feel like if you're Detroit, I don't know, they've never really been able to prove that they can cultivate a quarterback. So I'd maybe go with Jared Goff for the next couple of years and see if they could build around him. What do you say, DeMarco?
You know, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think there's a rookie out there that can unseat Jared Goff in a competition for a job year one. That's not going to happen. I mean, the guy is he took a team to the Super Bowl. He's pretty darn good. So, and he's unflappable. Now I don't think he has tremendous upside, so I would think about replacing him. But I would say this, man, has Jared Goff ever been challenged for a job in his life? Has he ever had heat behind him? I can't remember.
Like a real
a time
quarterback
where,
competition? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened. So, and that's not going to happen with a rookie. So I think what Jared says is exactly right. If you draft a guy at number one, it ain't going to bother him because the guy's not going to beat him out.
Well, I mean, if you're Jared Goff, maybe you hope that they draft a quarterback in the first round so that they can get you out of there.
That's true.
And you still get paid, right?
Yeah. I got friends there. They have a pretty good plan. We'll see.
Well, he looked good in the couple wins that they had, you know, last year, right?
I mean, look, Jared Goff is what he is. You know what I'm saying? But if Baker Mayfield wound up as his backup, I think that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I really do.
Wow. Man, think about that right there. All right, guys. So the next one, the Capital One, the Match is coming back, which is a 2-on-2 golf game featuring some of the best athletes in the world. And this year's matchup is the Old Guard featuring Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and the new kids on the block in Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. It would happen on June 1st. It will be the first time the Match will not have a golf pro. So is this a big deal, no deal? You're watching or not watching, DeMarco?
Wow. Are you a golf guy, Cap?
I used to be a golf guy. Like, I had a whole golf career in my life at one point.
Yeah?
Where I put a lot of time and energy into golf. And I really have not played. And I haven't even picked up a golf club since we were at the Black Gold Golf Course last year for the 7-10 tournament. And even then, I only hit about 10 shots. I mean, so I've, like, given up on golf. But I feel like if I start playing a little bit again, like, I could get the bug back. How about you?
I think it's a big deal only if the young guys win. Which I can't see happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The matchup.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, these guys have been playing for a long time.
Can I ask you guys a question since you guys are football guys?
Shoot.
Is Josh Allen really in that stratosphere with Rodgers, Brady, and Mahomes?
Yes. Yes.
Well, he's certainly in. He's, when you think about the young guy quarterbacks, that's why this is so fun. If you said to people around the league, who are the top old guys, they'd say Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And if you said, who are the top young guys, they'd say Patrick Mahomes. And Josh Allen's name would be right there.
And I would say this. Those three, you got to throw Joe Burrow in there. Those three guys are going to be banging around the AFC for who gets into the Super Bowl for the next 10 years. Those three guys.
I got to think that what they were looking for was, you know, they may have gone to Justin Herbert and say, yo, how's your golf game? And if he says it's not very good, they're like, oh, we don't want him. Right? And if they go to Lamar Jackson, they go, how's your golf game? And he goes, I don't really play. They go, oh, we don't want him. So I'm sure that the Josh Allen appearance in all of this is because he probably plays and he's probably pretty decent.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, I don't think I don't put Josh Allen in that stratosphere yet.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, like, in as far as like being off the field, like being recognizable and blah blah blah. Like,
oh, you
Mahomes.
Mean, oh, okay.
And Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
I thought you meant just talent.
Oh, not talent wise. No, that guy's talented as hell.
But as far as marquee value,
and marketing and stuff like that, I didn't think he was in that stratosphere
yet. If he rode the bus, he may get past. Like, you might not know it's him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
Like, can you think of one television commercial that Josh Allen is in?
No, but I got a bunch of Mayfields.
Yes, a bunch of Mayfields. Yes, exactly. I don't know. I don't know why.
Isn't it amazing how Baker Mayfield, coming out of college and number one overall pick and to the lowly Cleveland Browns, and before he did anything, this guy had so much off-the-field money coming in, and now here he is before his rookie contract is even up, and he's been replaced by a guy who's getting a fully guaranteed $245 million contract who the league isn't even sure of what his status is right now.
I know. A much better quarterback, in my opinion. I always thought Baker Mayfield was a better-behaved Johnny Manziel.
Now, is that playing, like, his playing style or what?
I mean,
or just off the field?
He was great in college. Oklahoma was great, and he had that edge to him. You know, so...
Yeah, yeah.
He's the guy you'd like to sign because you can make money with him. But as far as his talent, without RPOs,
Just real quickly, where do you think he's going to go in the offseason?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's either Seattle or Detroit.
There is no starting job out there, I don't think, for him. I mean, maybe Houston, maybe?
Could be. They're going with their guy. Is it Mills?
Yeah, the kid out of Stanford.
Yeah, Mills. They like him, and he's not bad. You know what? I think he's comparable to Baker Mayfield talent-wise. It's just you've never heard of the other guy.
I just feel like if Baker Mayfield wants to start, he should go play in the USFL. I don't think there's a starting job for the dude this year.
Yeah, just eat the chicken salad. Don't order pizza, or they'll fire you.
Right. Oh, my God. Did you hear that story this week?
Oh, my God. I know that coach. I love Kirby Wilson, but Kirby, come on, man.
The chicken salad guy?
Come on, Kirby.
What is up with that? So what did he wanted to get a pizza instead?
Kirby is old school. Kirby Wilson, the coach, he's old school. He has a list of rules, and he makes everyone follow them. And if you violate the rules, no matter who you are, bye. That's just how he is. So there was chicken salad on the menu. The guy didn't want it. He ordered pizza. He possibly got disrespectful. Out the door.
Yeah, to the cafeteria lady, I think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I saw that video. He's like, I don't even like chicken salad. I just wanted pizza. I just wanted the pizza. Yeah. And I felt bad for him. All right, guys, last one. Starting next season, the Arizona Coyotes will move their home games to Arizona State University because they couldn't strike a deal to stay at their old arena, Gila River Arena. Mm-hmm. Now, the place that they move to a place that they move from a place that houses 18,000 seats to a new place that just holds 5,000. But they're raising the ticket prices big time. Now, the cheapest ticket at the old arena, which housed 18,000, was $54. Now, this new one that houses 5,000 is going to be $110.
What?
Yes, that's going to be the cheapest ticket. So bear in mind, the Coyotes are it's hockey's worst team. Now, is this a big deal? No deal that the Coyotes are raising prices at their very small but new venue? Cap.
I'm going to say it's no deal because, look, I don't watch a lot of hockey, okay? Right now, I've got on a basketball game, Minnesota and Memphis tied at 83 with 8:29 to go in the fourth. There is a hockey game on ESPN. I'm not watching it. This Arizona Hockey Club, it's been a disaster for them because they really, their arena was right next to the Dodgers spring training complex in Glendale. And they just, they don't get a lot of people there. Wayne Gretzky was involved in an organization at one point. He bailed on them. They've had all kinds of problems. So for me, what I'm getting at is this. You have 18,000 and you can sell seats at $54, but now you've only got 5,000 and you got to make up that money. So there's less supply, but I don't even think there's going to be more demand. So for me, it's no deal.
No deal, definitely. Do I get a dancing bear? Like, what comes with that ticket now? You know, is there more to it, or is this like Netflix? Are you trying to get me to go away?
I'm sure you got to pay for more parking, you know, prices.
Crazy. Yeah. No. You know what?
And it's on Arizona State University's campus, too, which is weird.
No offense to hockey fans, especially present company included.
Go, please, go.
Right. But I've heard back when Gretzky was in Phoenix with them, he called the NHL a garage league. Now, that was 20 years ago. So this is not surprising to me. Have you heard that before?
I don't think I've ever heard him call it a garage league, but I know he was involved with Phoenix, and he did not. That did not go well.
And they had
an
ugly breakup too.
It was bad. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, man. I'll tell you what. There are teams here in Southern California, like the Kings have a minor league affiliate. The Ducks have a minor league affiliate. I want to say the Kings are in Bakersfield, I think.
Yeah.
And the Ducks are down in San Diego. And those teams get more than what the NHL Phoenix team is going to get.
Why
next
not
year?
Just shut it down then? You can't be making money as a league from a team that has a stadium that holds 5,000 people. You can't be making money from that.
No. And I don't know why they're so obsessed with the Phoenix market. I mean, I know there's a lot of people there, but there's no support, or so it doesn't seem. My goodness, they're like the Oakland A's of hockey.
Hey,
you
that's
see
my
the Oakland
team,
A's? I know, but you see what's going on up there?
Yes.
3,000 people to a game, 2,000 people to a game?
Wait a minute. Are we talking about my A's now?
Okay, hold on. Let's jump in there for
you
a
hear
quick
about
second.
This?
Hold on now. That's the hometown squad.
I know.
I mean, but, you know.
Coming
up. Games have more.
I also want to throw this at you, DeMarco. Would you ever buy or live in a house that is reputed to be haunted? Get to that story coming right back. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Yo, what's up? It's Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. DeMarco Farr is in studio today, and he's in for George Sedano. For those,
mm-hmm.
Oh, he's moving?
Get
really?
Your groove on. Yeah, man.
This usually I get my groove on.
Summertime song with the windows down, seat back.
You know who loved this song all the time? Aaron Helwani.
Really?
So, like, he was like, oh, my God, one time I played it as a rejoin, whatever. And so he's like, he loved it. He texted George to ask me what song it was. So every time we would have him on, it was like his theme music.
Oh, yeah. This is a vibe.
Yeah.
This is a whole vibe. This is our vibe at the Rams Draft House right
here.
I love
this idea because I'll tell you what I can't play and I can't get down to anymore. I can't do Summertime by Will Smith.
Because of the slap?
Yeah, I'm still on a Will Smith boycott.
Really?
Yeah.
But not you're okay with Chris Rock?
Oh, I'm totally on Team Chris Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you? You don't feel that way, huh?
No. I'm not saying you're wrong or anybody's right in this situation, but I don't know how I would react if somebody's talking about my wife right in front of me. You know what I mean? Especially if she's ailing. I may react badly. I may react like Mike Tyson.
Well, okay, you see, now here's the thing. We talked about this at the beginning of today's show. Anybody that's seen the video right now where Mike Tyson gets really irritated with a guy on a plane behind him and then beats the crap out of the guy on the plane? See, I would never mess with Mike Tyson, ever. Never.
Never a good idea.
But I would take my chances against Will Smith.
Okay, fair enough. And Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Some comedian said it. If it was The Rock instead of Chris Rock, it would never have happened.
Yeah, I would take my chances against Will Smith. I would never mess with Mike Tyson.
No doubt. Ever. Never a good thing.
No.
Yeah.
No. Hey, Funchy, tell me and DeMarco this story about the haunted house that's being sold.
So,
and then let's consider what we might
do. Does anyone watch Law and Order?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay,
all of them. So
Detective Stabler, Christopher Milani, has a house in the Hollywood Hills or something, and he's selling it for $5.9 million to somebody else or whatever, and the house is haunted. Now,
next.
Now, I never watched the show, you know, I didn't grow up in the 50s or, you know, nowhere near the 50s, but The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Mm-hmm. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So I guess the house used to be owned by Ozzie Nelson, and he died in the 70s or whatever. But still, people that stay in the house or whatever can still smell like perfume. They hear door closing by itself, and they hear train. I guess there's like a model train set in the house or something, and it runs by itself.
Wow.
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
Now, Chris Maloney, is that his name? Maloney?
Maloney? I don't know. I call him Stabler.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris Maloney.
It's Maloney, but Stabler is the correct. Yeah.
Okay, and he's had a long, long run on Law & Order, right?
He's great, yes.
Law & Order SVU, and now he has his own spinoff.
Organized Crime.
That's great.
Yes.
He's really good.
He was also on an HBO series before we all started doing the streaming.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Don't,
he was on Oz.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Dude,
right
Oz. Talk about Oz, man.
How great was Oz?
Oh, man. I wonder, can you do that show now?
Well, you know what's funny about that? The guy who in that series, his character's name was Schindler.
Oh, yeah, for sure,
And that guy.
J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons, yeah.
You would think he would have gotten typecast and would never be able to work again because of the character that he played in Oz. And he's the guy in all those Farmers Insurance commercials.
It was hard for me to like him after watching Oz.
Right?
Yeah. Like, you're a great actor, because I believed it. You know what I mean? You're that guy.
Right. Well, and even there's another guy who's got another insurance commercial. I think it's the guy who does the Mayhem commercials. You know Mayhem?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He was in Oz, too.
He was in Oz also.
And he was also on Law and Order.
That's right. The first couple seasons. That's right.
Yep. He was a Detective Benson's boat.
That's right. That's right.
To this point, I don't believe in haunted houses.
What? Okay.
See, I knew I was going to start something.
No.
I knew it, but look, I'm serious. I do not believe in haunted houses.
You believe in UFOs, but not haunted houses.
Correct.
There is a thing. So my best friend, his house is 100% haunted. 100%. It's like even people that didn't believe in all that go to his house. They're like, oh, man, I'm a believer. Just my house.
Why? What happens? What happens at this haunted house?
So, like, okay. So you always feel like somebody's watching, and then, like, you turn, and there's, like, a little, like, that just goes away.
What is that little?
Like, you know, like a figurine thing. Like, a little figurine that just, you turn, and it's like a whoosh. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
That's not scary.
Yes, it is. And then, like, you'll be like, he has an open concept place, right?
Yeah.
So you'll be watching TV, and then in his other living room, you'll just hear things fall.
Okay.
Like,
I mean, houses settle. Houses creak.
No.
Is it in California?
Yes. But,
a perpetually moving state?
But things just fall, or, like, cabinets, like, you know, close or bang on themselves, like, things like that. Like, it's crazy. When I grew up, the house that I grew up, it was the same thing. Like, dishes would fall in the middle of the night. Like, things would be open. So, yeah.
How old were you?
I was, like, 13 to, like, 16.
Okay. So you grew up in a haunted house.
I mean, I lived there before that, but I remember those particular, like, years because they got really bad.
Cap, you? Haunted house?
No, I don't have a haunted house.
Poltergeist?
I don't want to live in a haunted house, and I would... Here's the thing. If you told me the house was haunted, and I'm like, wait a second. So the guy, Chris Maloney, Maloney, whatever.
Benson. Just kidding.
If you told me this guy... Like, hey, he's the Law and Order star, you know? Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm curious, okay? Because I could then tell all my friends, you know, I bought this house from the guy from Law and Order, you know? But if you told me the house was haunted, or even this, you ready, DeMarco?
Yeah.
If you told me somebody, like, was murdered in the house, they're like, hey, they cleaned it all up, it's fine. I mean,
like,
you never
actually,
know.
Like, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm like, okay, I'm out. Like, if you told me somebody was murdered in this house, I'd be like, I'm out of this house.
Okay, does that count as haunted if I just get bad juju? Like, if something really happened? Like, something actually happened at this house, and it just feels weird?
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider that haunted. That's just, I don't want to be in this area.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's it. So would you buy a house that was, that you knew that there was something that went down there? Like, something really gnarly went down?
Yeah, if it helped me get a better price, absolutely. Sell me all the haunted houses you want.
And you do, by the way, get a better price.
Absolutely. I hope it's haunted. Yes.
You think that this guy's house only went for $5.9 million because it's haunted?
Yeah, you can knock 15% off the purchase price right there. Go ahead. Haunted.
You're saying it really should have been like 7 or something.
Bang. There you go. It's haunted. See? Scary. It's a scare tactic.
So they have any evidence of what happened? So the guy Ozzy from Ozzy and Harriet, which I know is like a really old show.
Yeah, in the 50s or something. Yeah, he died in a house, you know, in 1975. And, you know, ever since then, they say his ghost is still there.
Wow.
The ghost of Ozzy.
Did you guys watch those Ghost Hunter shows?
That's where it's coming from.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm also Mexican, so there's like a respecting for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of belief in the afterlife and a lot of stuff. Like, when I went to New Orleans, like, voodoo's huge down there, right?
Big
like
time.
The birth of voodoo. So there is, I'm the kind of person that feels energy and like whatever, you can do with that with what you wish. But like, when I went through certain places in New Orleans, I almost passed out in like a shop. I told my friend, because we walked in, I was like, we need to go, like, now. And she's like, dude, you look like you're
in New Orleans?
In New Orleans. And she's like, you look like you're going to just pass out. I was like, yeah, I don't. Like, you know how you said you get a bad vibe or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, dude, this is bad. I feel bad. And she's like, yeah, you look flushed. So we were because this was happening as we were passing inside a store. Like, we're inside a store. We're passing a little room. And a guy was doing something. I don't know what he was doing, you know? And I don't know. Like, it was like a voodoo chant, whatever. Like, it was like chants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I just got to go. So I genuinely believe, like, there's spirits and there's a lot of things that happen. So, yeah, like, of course, spirits can stay somewhere. And, you know, I just have a healthy, like, respect for all that. Like,
we should send you into this house.
Yeah, no, I'm good. No, thank you.
Seriously, we should send you in there because if you get vibes, if you get feelings.
No, thank you.
Right?
I do not approve of this message.
Wow.
No.
I'll go. Come on. Show me everything.
Yeah, I think I've always wanted to do that. Like, go to a haunted house
and just go,
like, for a night. I'll do it.
You know who loves all that stuff?
Who?
Like, there's a guy that works at a radio station that I used to work with, JoJo on the radio. He is a huge, he has a paranormal podcast. Loves that stuff.
Wow.
Huge on that. And would love to go every time to, what is the Queen Mary? The Queen Mary. Because, you know, they say the Queen Mary's haunted.
Yeah.
So he loves all that stuff. Like, he would be all for it.
But when you
I'll hook you guys up.
When you say you have feelings, like vibes.
Yes.
When you walk into a place.
Yes.
What is this, your whole life or is this something new?
No, it's since I was little, but I always would. I don't like it, and I don't like to explore it, and I don't really care for it.
So you're a psychic, basically.
No, I don't.
You're a psychic, a ghost person or whatever.
No,
yeah,
no.
One of those people that feels a ghost.
A medium.
No. Yeah, medium. That's what it is. Yeah. A medium.
Yes.
Like I said, is
anyone around right now?
No, because I don't know. Like,
crossover
see,
children.
Like,
ghost of ESPN LA here.
Like, I genuinely have a very healthy respect for all that. There's people that have gifts and whatever. Like I said, you guys might not believe in that. I'm not. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't a huge believer of that until I went to New Orleans. I was like, holy ish.
Wow.
I said ish.
You're not going to curse on the air?
Yeah.
You're not going to curse on the
air? Yeah, you already did it, yeah.
No, I'm not going to curse.
Might as well.
I mean, it's the most unbelievable thing. This woman will dump anything I say, and she curses on the air.
I dumped myself.
We've come full circle. Yeah. Love it.
Cap is still mad at me. It's okay.
No, I'm not mad at you. No, I'm not mad at you. Not at all. I just think that the bit is great, and you think the bit stinks.
I don't like the show.
I love the game.
I don't like the game.
I love the game.
I hate the pyramid game.
All right, so DeMarco, you're back tomorrow with
us, sir.
Which is going to be great. I'm so excited that you're back. And then a week from now, you and me, man, board shorts. You, me, Sean McVay, and Les Snead hanging out at the Rams draft house.
Talking ball. Can't wait.
I'm sorry. Can I just throw this in real quick?
What?
My cousin just texted me and said that Laura is Oda Mae Brown, Whoopi Goldberg from
Ghost. Ooh, Oda Mae Brown. I love it. Yes.
Shout out to your cousin.
Hey, what's coming up tonight? What's coming up? When we get off the air, are we just going right to ESPN Radio?
Yes, sir. That's it. That's it. Right. Nothing going on tonight.
All right. Very good. Hey, DeMarco, it is always great having you, man. I love working with you. Laura, amazing job today. Funchy, fantastic job. We are back tomorrow afternoon, everybody. We'll hit the airwaves at 4 o'clock, right after our Supercross with Mason in Ireland. It is time for us to rock and roll on out of here. Have a great night, everybody. We are back tomorrow. Peace out.